This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
This time we will look at the tax subsidy situation involving the Providence Place Mall, which opened in 1999, and how that squares with other local business development. And to talk about that, our guest is Providence Chief Operating Officer Brett Smiley. Thanks for coming in.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So, Brett, the reason this is sort of the topic of discussion is the city recently reevaluated its commercial properties, and the most valuable property in the city is Providence Place at nearly $700 million. Interestingly, Providence Place pays about 2% of what one would expect it to pay in if it were taxed at a regular rate because of a 30-year tax treaty that was put in place in order to get it developed. So how did that evolve, and where are we now in the city?
So you're right that it was a 30-year agreement that is what it took, they say, to get the ball built. And it was a really generous tax treaty. And a lot of thought has gone into whether or not it was the right deal or not. But we find ourselves with a 30-year deal. We're about halfway through it. It expires in 2028. The city received its first payment in 1999. So we have a long ways to go, but we're faced with the challenge that kind of speaks to the broader challenge in Providence, which is we have a lot of property in the city that's either tax exempt or under tax treaty and not fully assessed, which creates a challenge for us to balance our budget.
Well, interestingly, I mean, I think that it's clear that it informs tax stabilization agreement theory and practice today. I mean, what are the kinds of things that you've learned from that now you put into place?
So first is we do shorter agreements these days. A 30-year agreement is very generous and not the norm. It's hard to predict what the environment's going to be 30 years out. And so we have done extensions for treaties, but we've not done any treaty this long in a long time. The other thing that's a major change is this agreement has what we refer to as a cliff, which is that in 2028, which is the last year of the agreement, the city will receive a payment of $500,000. The very next year, that tax bill might be $25 million, depending on what the building's actually assessed in 2028. And that sort of cliff, that drop off from $500,000 to $25 million, is going to be a real burden on the mall owners. And we've seen this in agreements in the past that it is very difficult for business to be able to accommodate that drastic change. And so nowadays, we phase in a tax payment so that by the end of the agreement, the building's paying full boat, paying their full tax load.
And one of the issues here is that, you know, obviously a mall is a retail environment, and there are retailers throughout the city, throughout downtown, that are paying their full, you know, their full taxes, and yet the stores in the mall don't have to, they're not subject to the property taxes, nor actually inventory tax, right?
That's right.
So, you know, the issue is to many people is fairness. Now, how does the city deal with that? How do you finesse that issue?
That's a very real issue, and we're sensitive to that. We know how many of our small businesses in Providence are struggling, and struggling while still paying their full tax bill, as you rightly point out. The discussion at the time, and we don't want to second guess that necessarily, was that this would bring just more people into the city, and that's good for everyone. And we see that argument, but there does need to be parity, which is why nowadays, and certainly under the Allura's administration, what we have advocated for and signed are agreements that are short in term. The longest one that this administration has entertained is a 12-year deal. And they all pay full taxes by the end. And so we've been able to say to existing businesses, yes, we are trying to recruit new businesses, but in very short order, they'll be at parity with you who have been here for many years.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Brett, is there any way to renegotiate the tax subsidy arrangement with the mall owners?
We're not going to renegotiate with the mall owners. The city and the state made an agreement at the time, and it's bad policy to revisit representations that were made to developers that did make a significant investment in the city. All we can really do is learn from those lessons and make sure that successive agreements with new businesses, with new development, have learned from some of the lessons of the past.
Could you talk about the connection between the state and the city in drawing development?
Governor Raimondo and Mayor Alorza are working as close together as possible, and Commerce Secretary Pryor and I are in regular contact. And what we've been trying to do is both coordinate our business development efforts, but then also try to marry our tax incentives so that, you know, on the city side, we're looking at incentives on property taxes, on the inventory tax, and at the state level, they're looking at things such as TIFs off of the hotel tax or employment payroll tax credits. And so we each have a different tax bill that we send out. We're both looking at ways in which we can offer relief from our respective tax bills, and then we're teaming up together to go be as aggressive as possible and proactive in business development.
And this includes the, you know, former Interstate 195 lands as well, right? Which have, isn't it essentially covered by even other, you know, other ideas, other incentives?
So we worked closely with state leaders to develop an administrative tax stabilization program for the 195 land. And then the Commerce Corporation and the 195 Commission, on top of our TSAs, have a $25 million incentive pool. And then there's a variety of other programs that the legislature has empowered the Commerce Corporation to deploy, some of which are specifically targeted to and restricted to the 195 Commission. It is a great example of city and state working together to really try to prime the pump.
A number of tax stabilization agreements that had previously been signed are either have run out or close to running out or will run out very soon. And a lot of the developers are finding themselves, especially when it came to housing that were residential, that they're afraid that, you know, once they hit the full tax load, the rents are going to go up and their buildings will empty out because the people who are living there are not going to be able to afford it anymore. Is there any discussion about how to deal with that? Developments which have been, you know, done a lot in the, you know, sort of the Valley neighborhood, you know, to reclaim old mills, you know, you don't want to lose that momentum. What do you do with that?
That's a delicate conversation that we have with developers. Of course, we want to see them continue to be successful, particularly some of the development in the Valley neighborhood and elsewhere in our city outside of the Central Business District. We're appreciative of the real investment that they made, and we want to see that investment continue. But similar to the situation between small local retailers and the mall, there's a whole bunch of people who continue to pay full taxes, and they're not receiving a subsidy. So it's a balance, and it's a balancing act to make sure that we're continuing to support investment and redevelopment while not penalizing those who've been making a go of it on their own without subsidy. And so we try to work with the developer. Of course, we work with our partners in the city council to strike that balance.
When the Providence Place Mall was first proposed and the first discussions came about, it was thought of as the economic engine for the city of Providence. Do you see it that way now?
Well, it's certainly a top destination in the city, and it is, in fact, an important part of the city's attraction. You know, we, similar to Providence Performing Arts Center, the Dunkin' Donuts Center, the draw that we see as a result of conventions, it's an important part of the puzzle for us, and we're glad to have it, but it shouldn't be disproportionately benefiting beyond those of our local retailers that add perhaps even more charm and character to our city. So it's a part of the mix, but it's not a disproportionate part of the mix.
The Chief Operating Officer for Providence, Brett Smiley, has been our guest on The Bottom Line. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.